This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey there, everybody. This is Baco from Cobras and Fire. I would like to make a little announcement before we get into today's episode. As you probably figured out from the show description, we talk a lot of KISS on this episode, and specifically, we get into KISS playing for Sharks in Australia. About 10 seconds after we finished wrapping the recording of this, I saw the announcement that KISS had canceled their Australian tour due to Paul having some sort of illness coming off the KISS cruise. And so it seems a little odd because we're talking about it. Now, I know KISS is still going to play for the Sharks without Paul. Just thought we'd at least throw the disclaimer out there that, yeah, we do know. And we're sorry that the episode comes out after the announcement, but we think you still enjoy it. But, yeah, that's why we talk about it the way we do. Anyway, let's get to the episode.
It doesn't suck.
We're going out on top. Look at us. The word fabulous in the dictionary, we're in it. There's nobody that can touch us. If it seems like I get up on a high horse and start saying we're fantastic, we actually mean it. We introduce ourselves with, you wanted the best, you got the best.
Mr. Bob Kulick.
We feel great. The band's never gotten along better. 4.5 decades into it, this is us going out on the victory lap. We're going round the world to thank
Mr. Bob Kulick.
And to spend an evening with
Mr. Bob Kulick
and remind them of
Mr. Bob Kulick
and also to introduce those latecomers to
Mr. Bob Kulick.
As much as we'd love to do this forever, we want to do it as long as we can be great at it. And we still are. And that's the time to wrap things up. We are looking at a daunting task, which is to live up and to smash
Mr. Bob Kulick.
Listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek and Uncontrolled Noise Radio Network. This week, things get salty as KISS hits the high seas for the KISS cruise, plays a special intimate concert for some sharks, and Bob Kulick does something that is often referred to as sundowning. Cobras and Fire, my name is Baco, and I am joined by the king of the nighttime world. I'm talking about Luce Cannon. How are you this evening, Luce?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's a pale comparison to your oh, yeah. But, oh, yeah, I'm here. That's right. I'm good, man. I'm here to talk about some band.
Yeah. I've really started getting into this group called KISS. They have such a retro sound to them. I've been digging their vibe. So yeah, we haven't talked a ton of KISS lately.
Nope.
It sounds like that's going to kind of dominate today's episode.
dominate isn't being the only thing, but I'm surprised we could fill the whole episode because there really hasn't been anything to talk about.
No doubt. Yeah, some of this stuff goes back a ways too, you know, because we had the whole month of October kind of tied up with other stuff.
Sure.
Anybody listening to this show probably already knows half of what we're going to get into today, but
it doesn't matter. But what they don't have is our perspective.
Well, that's what they're. That's why they're chiming in.
So. Exactly.
Hey, but before we do get into that, I had a little funny story from something that happened at work. I wanted to run by you and get your take on it.
Sure.
Okay. We have our delivery driver. He's a fine man, tall, sturdy, strong. He has a tendency to mispronounce words. Like, we have two customers, or get them mixed words together is a better way to put it. Like,
can I guess real quick?
Yeah.
Vag and Laroff. Or no?
No, not those two. The example I'll give you is we have two customers, Metropolitan State University and Metropolitan Council, and he'll go Met State Council and stuff like that. You know, it's just a slip of the tongue is all I'm getting at, but he does it a lot.
Sure.
Anyway, one day we have a customer. It's this lady who does greeting cards, and her business is called Open Cupboard. And one day he was running down, he's like, hey, I got to get out of here. I'm going to hit these three places. And one of them was Open Cupboard. And he said it very distinctly. But now he has a history of kind of like not always nailing these things. So I just figured whatever, right?
Sure.
That same day, even though we've been doing work for this company, I've just never heard him say that name. But I heard him say it three times that day. And every time it was Cupboard. So I asked the other guys in back, I'm like, do you guys ever hear the way Brett says Open Cupboard? And they both look at me and go, Cupboard. So I started thinking, of course, as you know, as I'm wont to do, does he not know that that's how cupboard is spelled, or does he think that is how cupboard is pronounced?
Sure.
So I told the guys that when he comes back, I'm going to ask him a question with the idea that he'll answer with the word cupboard or cupboard, and we'll get our answer, right? So he comes back, and everybody's just kind of lingering. You know, he has no idea what's going on. And so where do you keep your coffee cups at home? And he's like, in the cupboard. And everybody busts up laughing, and he's like... And he like, what's going on? Is this like some kind of weird, is it called, you guys do something else or something like that? So, well, and of course, we never told him.
That's nice.
I don't know, for whatever reason, I found that fascinating. It's like, how does he think cupboard is spelled?
First off, you've been hitting me with a lot of these things lately. You do a lot of thinking when you're at work, but not important things. But, you know, So what do you want me? You want me to discuss if that's right or wrong?
It almost makes sense, right? Like, it probably should be cupboard. Why is the word pronounced cupboard?
I think that was where I was going to go. Like, there's certain words in the English language that I think a long time ago just got screwed up and people went with it. Like, somebody had a drunk slur at the time, or they just said it wrong, or because it doesn't make sense. I mean, what you're putting, I'll give the man some a little bit of leeway.
Sure.
You are putting cups into something that has boards, and you move a board called a door to get to your cups. So why the fuck do we call it a cupboard? That's C-U, that would be C-U-B-B-A-R-D.
Yeah, I almost feel like guilty for being kind of a dick about this, but because I think you're making a good point.
Right, and I'll take it one step further, and I will give much respect to this man because I think he is starting a revolution, one conversation at a time, to change how cupboard is pronounced. So I salute him.
He's an American hero. Now, as Sinzak likes to say in a lot of his Facebook posts, not all heroes wear capes.
I don't think so.
This one wears a safety vest.
Sometimes they wear Pepe John's hats.
Oh, man. Well, we got a lot of stuff to get into today. By the way, thanks for your feedback on that.
Sure.
I'm going to recommend he listen to this episode and see if he can figure out who he is.
Which part?
Yeah, just like, he's like, do I say cupboard?
So is that are we talking about Kiss cupboards? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's cupboard with a K. Happenings going on in the Kiss universe. But if it's okay, I'm going to hit a little business and then we'll jump right into the shit, okay?
Sure, yes.
Well, I'd like to remind people that they can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/cobrasandfire. We are also on Twitter. Our handle is @cobrasfire. Join us, join our Facebook group, Cobras on Fire, and connect with other listeners and share all the hilarity that we get going on behind the scenes. And we recently just threw some exclusive content on there. We're going to try to do that once in a while. So if you follow that, you might get a little bonus Cobra for you. And of course, the easiest way to do all this is go to the cobrasandfire.com, our fabulous website. We'll pretty much connect you to any one of these things in other places as well. We're also on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel if you're more of a YouTuber. And Luz, what if they want to buy a shirt? Do you have any tips from there?
No, I've given up selling things.
What if I wanted a Cobras and Fire Rock and Pod Expo
shirt? Actually, I do have a few of those hanging around. Yes, we have a Black Friday deal, but it's Black Friday now. There's no waiting. And there'll probably never be.
You know why that is? I heard this on the news. Because there's fewer shopping days this year.
Is that what it is? Sure. Now listen to this deal.
Last time I checked, there's the same amount of days this year there were last year. But...
Yeah, 365. Does it work out that way?
Yeah.
Yes, you can go to cobrasandfire.com, click on the shop link. You can see some beautiful things there. You can get our Cobras and Fire logo t-shirt, and you can get that on anything because that goes to Redbubble. But if you just want to buy for $10, you can get an exclusive.
Does that include shipping?
Expo. Yes.
Okay.
Everything is free shipping.
Okay.
It will show up to your door, $10 for a Rock and Pod Expo t-shirt. You help support the show. You can use this shirt while shoveling snow. You can use it during the summer when you're mowing the lawn. You can use it as an undershirt. It's getting cold out there. If you don't want, just buy the damn shirt.
And I'm actually going to encourage people to buy that shirt at least until they run out, because that money doesn't really necessarily help the show other than it helps Luz save his marriage.
Yes, that's correct. Please save my marriage. Buy a
shirt. I just imagine the conversations. Baco told me these would sell.
That was pretty much it.
All right. And lastly, if you're listening right now, there's tons of ways you can leave us reviews. Most of the podcast apps allow you to do it. But I do know that recently Podchaser is kind of upgrading their little thing. If you go there, when you review you can review individual shows or the shows overall. But Podchaser is the people's reviews are going to show up in other listeners' feed, so your review can actually be shared almost virally and help other people get into the show. And of course, as someone who works hard on this show, I think we both would appreciate that. Reviews help other people discover the show, so please give us a rating and review anywhere you can. Listen to our show and share.
Yeah, I also knew they made a custom feature for a specific Canadian podcaster where you can do 50 one-star reviews all at the same time.
Of course, broke. I want to say it was about a month ago. I got the story in front of me. Yeah, it's October 3rd this came out. So just a little over a month ago when we were in the middle of recording the Three Hits from Hell, we almost dropped everything just to do an entire episode. I actually, if I remember right, I wanted to change the entire theme of our show to just this one event. Kiss announced that they are going to be playing a concert for Sharks.
Keep going.
Okay, let me just read the story here. Having played nearly every corner of the earth in a nearly 50-year career, the rock band Kiss is taking its show to a new place, under the sea. Makes me think of SpongeBob, which of course is going to piss off Bob Kulick.
I'm a Grammy award-winning producer. I worked with Motorhead.
More on him later. where they will perform for Great White Sharks and eight fans, separated from them by a small submarine. This is for some reason, this is an Airbnb promotion. I don't understand that. But the fans and Kiss will travel November 18th in separate boats off the coast of southern Australia. While Kiss stays above the water on one boat, cowards, the fans will be lowered beneath the surface of the water into the viewing sub, an area known for shark activity, using underwater speakers. This is fucking Spinal Tap. Kiss will begin playing, and the sound will be audible to the submerged fans and sharks. I'd like to pause here to just point out one thing. Metaphorically speaking, Kiss jumped the shark decades ago. Now
yes, they're
literally jumping a shark. So anyway, I'm kicking it to you now.
I can't wait to speak. First off, when I saw this, I swear to you that I thought it was going to be redirected to hardtimes.net.
Same here. Or Babylon Bee or, you know.
Or The Onion.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. And then when it wasn't, I did not get redirected. I thought, is this the script for Sharknado 9?
Yeah, maybe it is.
Maybe Sharknado. Maybe this was where they got the footage and Kiss will be in Sharknado 9.
Hey, maybe they invite Ace and Peter and a little some accident happens and this kind of squashes that whole nonsense.
I also thought it was a trick to reunite with Vinnie Vincent and throw him in the water.
Vinnie the chum Vincent.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, it says here this is a first-come, first-served underwater event. Costs $50, which is half the price for a nosebleed seat at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I don't get that part either. And the fact they threw this together with, like, 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah.
Is there any footage for this thing? Because I have not seen
it. It hasn't happened yet. Reservations can be made as of October 14th. Let me see if it has a date here.
I thought it already happened.
November 18th is when it's happening. But I know Paul came down with some cruise crud, and he's been kind of – they had to postpone some shows in Australia. It kind of irritated some people that because their first show is now the last show, and people who are like – paid like through the nose extra to see the last Kiss show in Australia, they're pissed off because they no longer get the last show. But
jeez.
Although I'm gonna say this, man, that's just a little too specific for me. I mean, I don't live in Australia, but it's like, to me, seeing the last Kiss show in Minneapolis really wouldn't do anything for me. It would be kind of cool to see their last show ever. Or maybe their last show in New York City, which it turns out was confirmed, is going to be in New York City. I just don't. I mean, who gives a fuck if it's the last show in Australia or Europe or Minnesota or Colorado or whatever?
But I think the most important thing is sharks.
Sharks. Yeah, back to the sharks. Who's opening? Is Great White opening?
That was good. That was an easy one.
Yeah. Not a lot of – I didn't strain myself too hard to come up with that one.
Well, you know who's opening for Great White.
Who's that?
Shark Island.
Yeah. Are they selling meet and greet packages for the sharks? Hey, what do they pay?
I do think it's genius, though, because – only sharks think that they sound good still.
Well, sharks can't tell they're listening to a CD.
That's true. They're not good at catching the lip sync.
They're not taking cell phone videos and posting them on YouTube.
I mean, this is like when they used to tour and they started doing the Lost Cities tour and they'd run out of people to see them. This is where they go. They go after, you know, sharks.
Maybe they'll actually send like a Kiss tribute band to do this. The sharks won't fucking know.
They won't.
It might sound better.
That's true. What do you think what's going on in the shark's head when this is going on too? Do they bring them? Do they corral them? Is there section?
I know at least one of the sharks can be like, if they don't play fucking Beth, I'm going to be so pissed.
That's right. There's nothing that's what a Great White's favorite song is. Yeah. Beth. The great one, the biggest predators on earth. His jam is Beth.
I was talking to a tiger shark backstage before. And he was saying a lot of you Great Whites like to eat dolphins. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I hear, maybe Gene should take the stage and take this monumental moment. He should be doing some stage rap, something a little more than, oh, yeah.
I think I can't do a Gene voice, but can we have a special guest call in?
Yeah, who do you got?
Use? I've got Gene Mankini.
From Three Sides of the Shilling?
That's right.
All right.
No, it's actually Three Sides of the Groin. There's
three
the left
sides
nut,
of the groin.
Right nut, and the taint. He's the taint. Anyway.
Well, let's hear a few Gene Mankini stage raps. What would he be saying?
Hey there, jerks. This is Gene Mankini. You know, today, I'm not going to breathe fire. I'm breathing chum. You know. You know, I got something else, though. We've made a lot of mistakes. And one of them is not ever playing deep tracks. So prepare yourself for a track off of Rock and Roll Over. This is Love 'em and Leave Chum. So let's go back to Paul.
The tracks are even deeper. These are 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea deep.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. Keep going with these.
Give me another one. You got one now? You got another Gene?
Well, this is more of a... I don't think this is as much of a stage rap, but just something that Gene Mankini would let you know on one-on-one. And that is that, you know, here's a little fun fact. The original title for Monster, Chum.
I worked with Motorhead.
If there was like a press conference and Gene Mankini was going to explain to the Sharks what they could expect, what kind of show should they get?
You want the best. You got the best. Chum.
People, I mean, Sharks. Let me tell you something. A hammerhead shark showed up earlier today holding a baby. I'm not saying that shark is Gene's, but that baby shark had the longest tongue I've ever seen in my life. Oh, yeah!
I thought you were going to do a baby shark thing.
Well, I did say baby shark, but...
That baby shark, do-do-do-do. What if they play that?
Ooh, they should play baby shark.
That's what I mean. And
Who would sing it? Because Paul would have to record recent vocals, and then, you know, that wouldn't work. Some of you sharks may have heard before that my favorite dinosaur is the Lickalotopus. Well, you know what my favorite clam is? The bearded clam, oh yeah!
I think that's perfect, yeah.
Oh, man. So, look, getting back to the actual event, I mean, I can't imagine this being anything but a ridiculous shit show. Look, I'm sure it'll go off. It'll be fine without a hitch. But, my God, what the hell? They are literally turning into a parody of themselves. It's like they listen to some of the snarky criticisms shows like ours hosted by assholes like us have and go, you know what? We're going to do that.
It's unbelievable. I don't even understand how it's even profitable for them because it's $50 a ticket. Well, they're being paid a shitload of money to do it. So I guess that's what it is. It doesn't look like they can't even sell that many tickets. It's on a boat.
So what's going to happen that's going to screw this up for Julian Gill? Is he actually going to get attacked by a shark? Is he
going
to get taken to the wrong? Oh, of course he's going. He's Julian Gill. Yeah, but you know he has that kiss bad luck with everything. You know it'll be something like, you know, his hotel room will be booked when he gets there, and they won't give him a refund, and then he'll get, you know, his leg amputated by a great white shark or something like that. You know, and you know, and of course, because he's jolly old Pip, he'll still have a good attitude about it. Come back and probably write a book. The Kiss FAQ. Kiss Plays for Sharks companion. I guess at this point I should let you know that I have actually booked my flight. I will be riding with Julian Gilder, so hopefully everything goes well. I can't wait to report on this. Remind me how to spell your legal name. Is Loose Cannon. Is it LEWSSSE? I want to leave you as my main beneficiary.
She's a killer, bitch is insane, she deals in pain. She's a killer. Her next meal, she's searching for the
Well, of course, the Kiss cruise recently happened, and that means, you know, of course, more travel plans for Julian Gill. Although I don't think he went this year. I'm not really sure. I know Joe Polo from Podcast Rock City was there. Before we get into the Kiss cruise nonsense, I have a bone to pick with another podcast. I listen to and have become a subscriber of the Shout It Out Loudcast. As you know, I don't follow a lot of Kiss podcasts regularly, but these guys share a bit of a sensibility that I enjoy. Just a little more honest look at Kiss and maybe laugh once in a while. That it's okay. You know what I mean?
It's good to laugh.
Yeah. But these sons of bitches, they have unscrupulously stolen our bit. And so I just want to make it painfully clear to any other shows out there, this is an official cease and desist. By official, I mean it's just me talking into a mic. Covering an event without actually going to it is our deal, man.
That's true. We are the masters of vertical phone syndrome.
Yeah.
Video research.
We were not there when we were covering the Atlanta Kiss Expo. Remember that show?
Yeah.
These assholes did a whole show on the Kiss cruise, and it turns out neither one of them went. Who do they think they are? Cobras and Fire?
I mean, their research is basically, you know, very, very cursory. There's just certain things. There's basically probably three people supplying their information. With all the YouTube videos.
Yeah, I know. That was our experience anyway.
Yeah. There's like the asshole on the rafters. How do you get a shitty seat at the Kiss show? But anybody that supplies a YouTube video, always is like 9,000 feet away in the small room where they play.
Oh, that's where they got to capture the memory. It was all they could afford just to sit in the worst seat in the place.
Don't you? I think it's included. You just are slow to get to the place.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Oh, you're talking at that's right, at the expo. Oh, I'll look at all these empty chairs. I'm going to sit in back.
No, that's right.
There's a great shot of the back of Pooney's head.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, they did a pretty decent job covering it.
It was pretty funny. I liked it. Go check out the Shout It Out Loudcast. I think it's episode 40. Yeah, whatever. It says they're talking about the Kiss cruise right in the title. They get into a lot of the stuff we're going to cover today, too, but not as good because we're fucking sweet.
Yeah, and also,
that was just a bomb.
No. But also, nobody's allowed to drink while podcasting either.
Right. Yeah, we copyrighted that. Oh,
yes,
man. How does Ken Mills do it without drinking? Jesus. But back to the Kiss cruise. They have this whole pre-party event, a two-day deal before you go on the cruise called Cruise Fest. This pre-cruise event is hosted by Joe. And I'm sorry. I think it's I don't want to butcher it. I apologize, Joe. He worked with Chris at the Rock and Pod Expo this last year, but he does this every year. And it's kind of turned into a little bit of almost like a mini Kiss convention, if I'm understanding it right. Joe Polo apparently had a table set up there where he was hawking some of his goods and stuff. And it was like a two-day thing. And at the end of the day one, my understanding that it was Sebastian Bach was the performing artist. And nice. at the end of Sebastian's set, he called Ace up to play a couple songs. And, of course, I'm unprepared, so I don't remember which ones. I know they played Deuce, but there was a couple others ahead of that is all I'm trying to get at there.
Nice.
Ace looked to be in a good mood. His demeanor was nice, and he had fun. So, it seems like everything I'm hearing from anybody that's seen Sebastian pretty much agrees with you that you just recently saw him and that he sounds great.
Yeah, no. I mean, if I could just do a brief synopsis of the concert.
Please.
I went to here. Sebastian, I've never seen him live. I never saw him with Skid Row or solo up to basically last month. And when I saw him, he's coming to Denver.
Are you kidding me?
Did you ever see him?
No.
Okay, then. So, and Skid Row.
You guys fucking suck.
The Skid Row, this first two albums, great. Come on. And,
yeah.
You know, I've always
wanted to be an Eddie Trunk like subhuman race.
That has maybe two or three good songs on it. The love for that album is, I'll just say, peculiar.
Yeah, okay. I was just joking anyway. That's for you,
so
Eddie.
Do you prefer Jason or Baco?
Here's a shocker. He didn't play anything off of it.
Okay. Oh, okay, not even, I can't even remember the name of a song, Ironhead?
Not even Beat Yourself Blind? No.
Oh, man, Skid Row brings that one out once in a while.
Okay, so that's the point. I've seen Skid Row four times without Sebastian. You, I think you the same, roughly, right?
At least, like, yeah. No, it's probably more than that.
Yeah, I saw Skid Row play it. Yeah, I saw them play in front of a Goodwill as a backdrop one time. I'm not making a joke.
No, I wasn't either.
I saw him in a parking lot. And then, true to form, the point of me telling you that is that I saw Sebastian in a barn. That's where he was playing.
I bet you could book Skid Row for the cost of the entire travel package for a Kiss cruise. What does that run a guy? $2,000 to $4,000, something like that? We should ask Craig Smith.
You motherfucker.
Yeah, you can ask Rachel Bowman.
How much to have you play in my basement?
In short, you know, it was inside of a barn, which is funny. They had a sign that looked like it would say Puppet Show and Spinal Tap, or whatever, like one of those old school arrow signs. But I got there, you know, it had a dirt floor, and it was pure comedy from the setup, but god damn, it didn't matter. I mean, there was like probably 1,500 people in there. He slayed. Total good attitude. He had a great attitude. He was funny. His stage drops were amusing, kept everybody engaged, and most importantly, he sounded fantastic. I mean, I have no idea how he sounded live, you know, 25 years ago, 30 right. years ago, but his band was spot on. And that's it. That's all I got to tell you. There's a review. There's actually a full article on cobrasandfire.com for more information.
Yeah. And looking at the pictures, I was flat out jealous of the venue alone. I would have loved to have been there. My kind of scene, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot more fun and not to make fun of Sebastian being in a barn. The reason is, these clubs here only seat about 800, so it was a good thing that did happen there because it was packed. So,
all right.
Anyway, proceed.
Well, the second night was the band that only exists to play at Kiss Expos, and that's the Return of the Comet, I think they call themselves. It's Todd Howarth, Richie Scarlett, the recently fired Richie Scarlett from the Ace Frehley band, and John Regan, I believe, and I'm not sure who's on drums. I think Sandy Slavin is too pissed off, and it's definitely not Anton Figg.
Already, I give zero fucks about this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I was there, I'd probably go see it, but I hear this sometimes, because didn't 4x Fate have a couple guys from Frehley's Comet, and they played an indie Kiss Expo a couple years ago, and everybody's like, man, they were great. They killed it. I love Todd Howarth. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with your ears, but Todd Howarth is a fucking human dog whistle. That guy's voice is... I would rather listen to Miles Kennedy sing the Bible than fucking listen to Todd Howarth sing anything.
Miles Kennedy reads War and Peace, the book.
And John Regan has to be one of the least interesting people I've ever seen on stage. You know, nice 80s suit, always wears 80s suit guy. I don't know. Honest to God, nothing against any of these guys. Although I think Richie Scarlett's kind of an overrated player, but I do think he was a good singer with Ace. None of these guys do a damn thing for me. I really don't get it. I enjoy Ace Frehley's music, and I like when he has a good band with him. And sometimes these guys were part of it, but once they started kind of like taking the role of anything other than stand behind Ace, it just wasn't my cup of tea.
That lineup is interesting as me meeting the catering man.
I don't know. I think the catering manager might be able to get you some good food or something, but
he does have a.
But anyway, Ace actually came up and joined them for a couple tunes. This was all prearranged, and now we got a different version of Ace. I think Ace did not want to be. I don't know why he agreed to it, because of the way he acted. He threw a fit. Yelled at the sound guy. Richie Scarlett tried to play it off, but it didn't happen. He threw a water bottle at somebody.
Jesus.
As he walked off stage, he kicked a mixing board. And it was just, I don't know, not Ace's best moment, that's for sure. Not that he's got a ton of them lately, but I just was like, to me, it reeked of, look, I don't want to speculate that a guy who's been working on sobriety for a long time was drinking, but that was the first thing that came to my mind. But my second one was probably more accurate, and that is, like, he just was uncomfortable being back on stage with these weirdos. And it was just like, you know, it's like, why am I doing this? Look at me. You know, I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm in a goddamn hotel, you know, conference room on a stage 2 feet off the floor playing with Todd Howarth and John Regan. And Richie, didn't I just fire your ass? What are you doing here?
I would just hope that he would have done some kind of stage rap where he doubles down and accuses those members of Fraley's Comet to trick him to go to an island to kill him.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about all that. Yeah, then Ace's wife shows up and drops the conspiracy bomb.
That would be great.
I'm Rachel Gordon, and you guys are all trying to kill my husband.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Yeah, but I also wanted to mention, because we're going to get into it here a little bit, some Bob Kulick news, but Bob Kulick was there for some reason.
I worked with Motorhead.
According to Joe Polo from Podcast Rock City, Bob apparently wanted his table so bad that he pushed all of Joe Polo's stuff onto the floor.
And, That's not true.
And, yeah, according to Joe Polo, it's 100% true. Listen to the latest Podcast Rock City. He had his table for Podcast Rock City set up. I think he said he was planning to do some interviews. He explains it on his episodes. Apparently, he came back from getting a drink of water or something like that, and the Podcast Rock City banner was taken off the table and thrown on the table next to it. And all the stuff that he had on the table was not, like, neatly picked up and moved. It looked like basically, like, you know, that where you take your arm and just wipe it right off. And it was, like, just sitting on the floor.
I'm a Grammy Award-winning producer.
And then from that point, I imagine Bob Kulick sitting on a metal folding chair like you get at, you know, like some church cafeteria, kicked back, got his legs up, boots on the table, and some honeys around him. He's just got his arms crossed staring at Joe like, come at me, bro.
I worked with Motorhead.
Yeah.
I also see him with his Grammy on the table.
Yeah. A Grammy Award winning producer who worked with Lemmy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if you knew that, but also his autobiography is called Lemmy Hear You.
The cruise pre-party is all just a precursor to the actual cruise. My first question for you, Luce, is how close are you every year when the cruise gets announced to, like, going, I'm going to max out that Visa card this time?
Amazingly, this this cruise has never really appealed to me. And there was the first 5 years that it was going on, actually 6 years, I lived in Florida within an hour.
Oh, yeah, you could have saved the airfare at least.
Yep, I could have gone. And I just, quick answer is no, but what it does appeal to me is more the Monsters of Rock. We have a variety of different bands.
Yeah,
anyway,
we probably touched on it. I mean, yeah. They have a less liberal masturbating in the shower policy than the Kiss Cruise probably does. But yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. The Kiss Cruise is a little too family friendly for me, which we'll get to here in a minute. To me, things like going on a cruise or going to Vegas or, you know, let's say even New Orleans. These are things you do to get away from your fucking family, especially your children. And the idea that you try to, like, I hate the way Vegas is going, by the way. Where
it's been going that way for 25 years.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. But
drink.
Drink, absolutely drink. It's been a while. But yeah, I mean, it just gives you, Vegas is basically now something I really have no desire to go back to after I went, you know, about 2 years ago twice. I'm like, this is just, it's gone.
But this is so people don't think we're just shitting on Kiss the entire time, which we probably will get to in a second.
Of course.
But
as is tradition.
Basically, if it doesn't matter what my favorite band would be, I just couldn't take 3 or 4 days of just that theme. Is my point. That's
yeah,
all.
And my thoughts are like it's largely the fans that would keep me away.
Well, there's that too.
I have a dubious history with hardcore Kiss fans, of one I consider myself to be.
Right.
But we view the world very different. Like me and Mankini, we are not grabbing this. We're not fighting for the same food at the buffet.
There's also. You know, when you're down the dumps, you do go on a Kiss cruise and you get an ego boost looking around.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, I would be one of the I would feel like such a rock star walking around that thing.
You're like Brad Pitt.
It's like, who's that guy? Is he famous? He's only slightly overweight. Look at that T-shirt. Just kind of like, can he just like lays it out there, man? He doesn't tuck it into nothing. Oh, man.
Anyway, all right. Let's get down to
now that we've basically made every diehard Kiss fan click, well, maybe they'll comment. Yeah.
Well, at least we got the listens up to. I'd like to see the analytics of when people bail on this episode.
Oh, man. I think for Matt Porter, it was about 10 seconds ago. we love Matt, of course. Look, we kid with the fans and all that stuff, but yeah, I'm definitely more of a Monsters of Rock cruise guy. Although I've never done either, I should point that out.
Plus, you know that's the only place you're going to see a live set from Pink Cream 69.
Yeah,
Pink Cream 69. I'm psyched about seeing Pink Cream 69.
Back to the Kiss Cruise. The thing always starts off with an acoustic set. They call it the Sail Away set or whatever like that. So as the boat floats out into the middle of the ocean, Kiss comes out sans makeup and performs an acoustic set. Did you get
mostly because it's so windy. You can't hear them, so it covers them up.
Oh, yeah, that's a key factor now. Maybe not 5 years ago, but
no.
But did you get a chance to see the set list?
I think I did because I just looked at the last 5 years.
I think I looked at it. There was 4 songs that didn't appear on MTV Unplugged.
Oh, really? Okay.
That was kind of my takeaway. Is like, you know, and you know my thoughts on this. I am a hardcore stance against how they pick their songs. A few years ago, they did very good. It might even been the year that Craig Smith went.
You motherfucker.
It is just like that was the one year they actually did about a 50-50 deep in hits. My official stance is this is a floating Kiss convention. There's no fucking reason to play Rock and Roll Night, Detroit Rock City, Deuce, Strutter. You should only be playing songs that never get played. You have this core audience. Of course, you can't, probably, or it takes too much work. You know, and based on the way they performed a couple of the two hidden gems everybody's clamoring about from this year, Larger Than Life and It's My Life, that might be the case because they really didn't put much effort into either one of those tracks. But yeah, I was like, seriously, these are the go-to acoustic songs you guys pretty much hit all the time. Lame, lame, lame. Although I like the Lazy Susan stage.
But I think it's funny is that it wasn't automatic. There was just they used the KISS fans to spin it around. Easily the most exercise they've gotten in a while.
Oh, yeah. Are we really just going to sit here and call KISS fans fat?
We can smell our own, right?
Yes, yeah. We know what we're talking about because we're us.
Listen. Yeah, if we go on there and still the only six packs are what's being pounded before 8 a.m.
Exactly. Yeah. I wonder if I could like basically it doesn't seem like a boozy cruise. You know what I mean? I wonder That's if true. I could go and like account for like half of the Coors Lights drank over 3 or 4 days. You know what I mean?
You definitely have a decent percentage.
Yeah. I mean, you stretch that shit out over a day. I could do 20 a day. Was it 4 days, 5 days? I mean, do you think they sell 200 Coors Lights typically?
I would hate to see you at like 11 o'clock at night, just all fired up about the songs they didn't play, going on some kind of tirade in the bar.
Oh my, that's
crushing the Coors Lights on your forehead like Belushi or whatever.
And we've touched on the real reason that I'll never go on a KISS cruise is because I will basically defriend everybody on the boat by the end of the evening. They're all there I'm just trying to have fun and laid back. And I'm like, I can't believe they fucking played. Gee, you're telling me you're okay with that? You're not a true fan. And then I stumble over, you know, somebody will actually probably throw me in a dinghy or actually toss me over the edge like, I don't know, like a drunken idiot trying to piss off KISS fans. So,
yeah, if you listen to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame episode, the previous one, you're basically going to be doing the Steve Miller speech throughout the KISS group.
Yeah, basically.
Pulling you off the stage. Hey! Yeah, you know what's pissed off about the Steve Miller speech is he didn't say, you know, he told that lady to sit down and learn something, but he should have said, fly like an eagle and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, me on a KISS cruise, Bob Kulick would come up to me and go, you need to chill, dude.
He gets a restraining order on you.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think Matt Porter would ever talk to me again if him and I shared a room on a KISS cruise.
Anyway, you're angry about the set list. What else you got?
Well, whatever. I mean, no thoughts there. You agree, disagree?
No, I mean, I'm not going to go too much on this, but essentially there were a couple of years where they really did switch it up. The last, like, 3 or 4 years, based on, because I always look, they just went on autopilot. And actually, what was funny is that Joey Haney, it was either him or somebody else called it, where whatever their electric set was exactly their set list for End of the Road. And it
was there was like two or three songs they switched out between the two nights, and it ended up being their like switch out songs during the tour.
The sequence, everything. It was like they used people that paid $3,000 to do the rehearsal.
Yeah. No, and I think it was the year before was the only year they went deep, because I actually wrote an article for this for Decibel Geek where I actually listed the songs that I would permit KISS to play on a KISS cruise. and that was like, you know, they've been doing it for 5 or 6 years. I'm like, this is bullshit. Why are you guys still going to this? You know, and oh, man. You know what? We had some fun ripping on our friends over at the Shout It Out Loudcast, but they brought up a Twitter account that we haven't touched on in a while. PAWL Paul Stanley, the parody Twitter account. I'm pulling up one of the tweets that he had about.
That's a guy that has, he's just like a bald picture of Paul. Yeah. Right?
Okay. They mentioned it on their show. I'm going to mention it too. PAWL Paul had a couple funny tweets, a whole bunch of crap dropping during the cruise. The Shout It Out Loudcast mentioned on their show, but I'll say it too. It was, mercifully, the cruise is almost over. I'm reminded of the time a fan asked me if we would be playing deep tracks, and I said, spend a few $1,000 and find out. And he did. All right, Love Gun, Live to Win. Hashtag live to win.
I think he always puts hashtag live to win.
Oh yeah, it's a hilarious another cruise tweet. A tip for fans hoping to meet Gene on the KISS cruise: use your nose. Shannon makes him leave his shoes in the hallway. That's probably my favorite. Every time I meet a fan on the KISS cruise, I'm blown away. I mean, I've been taking this guy's allowance for over 40 years.
There you go. I like that one.
But if you have a sense of humor and you're a Kiss fan, it's very specific, but it's PAWL Stanley on Twitter. Good
He's
stuff.
He's got a bald head.
Bald
Stanley would have been a good one too.
We should we'll message him from the Cobra's Twitter account.
I should just have my own show just called I Fucking Love Punk.
You really should. Well, Bruce Kulick also is back. I think he played last year by himself, but the 2 years ago was when it was him and the Kulick brothers, or was it last year?
I think it was 2 years ago, and then he did this his thing with, I think, the same lineup, the band this year.
I believe it was the same band when his brother, the Grammy Award-winning producer who worked with Lemmy, Bob Kulick, was with him.
Yes, that is correct.
I know that I thought it was – I love what Bruce did, because this is kind of what they really should be doing on the Kiss Cruise, is something like this. It's too bad that you have to only get it from Bruce Kulick with low grade. You know what I mean? Just not famous people. I mean. A very talented band. They did a great job.
Half of Union.
I guess that's true. But I will say that the band sounded as good as a band can sound on a cell phone video, and the set list was killer. But I know you absolutely adored this. I'm going to let you kind of roll with this here.
I did. And it's something that I've always loved about, this is called Alice Cooper and bands that do this, but Alice Cooper always comes into mind. And that is, you know what? I get there's a lot of deep cuts, but if you actually took the time, and my God, Bruce put in the time, to get all these, the band up to snuff to do all these.
Yeah, and before you get into that, before you go much further, I should say, Dear Kiss, you can rehearse these songs before you play them. Anyway, carry on.
Right, yeah. I mean, then they definitely did this. And, you know, so the deep tracks, you know, just a little taste of them here and there would be great. Now that it comes to medleys, I'm just going to summarize this, is that, first off, they did a medley of basically the Alive 3 versions of Creatures of the Night, Tears of Falling, and Watching You. And I mean that they're played in the fashion that they were on that album. They also did, so that's kind of a medley. They did an Animalize medley, you know, the one that basically changed that tour, that basically, not the album, but the tour changed Bruce's life. So they gave a lot invested in that. And they did, I'm just going to do it quick, I've Had Enough, Into the Fire. Get All You Can Take, going into Burn, Bitch, Burn, Lonely Is the Hunter, Under the Gun, and Thrills in the Night. Now, I will tell you right now, when I heard the riff during this little medley of Burn, Bitch, Burn, I immediately got a boner. I forgot how great that riff is. Yeah, and again, I heard where they played Get All You Can Take. I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, Keep Me Coming, but not a shitty song. And I just forgot all that. But they went into, like, Hot in the Shade medley, you know, just playing, like, seven songs off of that all played together. They did a Revenge medley, too. And here's the thing. They also had different set lists for both nights.
Nice.
They had different medleys. I mean, basically, his set was basically 30 fucking songs.
Apparently, it can be done.
And they sounded great. The guy that did, and I know it's that, you know, it is what it is, but you know, the guy that did the Gene sounded good. The guy that does the Paul. I don't know their names.
I mean, I want to be hesitant on sounding. They sounded tight and they sounded good, but again, through a cell phone camera video, I can't say much more than that. All I know is whatever Bruce delivered. It was clearly a good mix.
And it was cool, the transitions with the medley too.
Yeah, bitch, you know, because as you know, not a huge setlist guy except for shit like this. Then you have to go deep, and Bruce did. And so maybe I don't like every song he played off of Animalize, or I would have moved this one for that one, that kind of thing. I don't care about that, with one exception. He played fucking My Way from Crazy Nights, which is it's an insult to music to call it music. I mean,
that was weird. I know. That was the part. Well,
who wants to sing that song? I mean, my God, why wasn't Todd Kurtz going, what? No.
The best thing is there's two. There's Trial by Fire and that one where you can take a piss. And they're playing.
I'll take Trial by Fire over. I actually enjoy that song, but
well, anybody could. Anybody would. But yeah. But besides that, you know, point is, it was fun. It was unique. And if you're actually seeing it live and you don't know what's going on, the fact that you're getting hit with four medleys, including the live three ones, you're like, holy shit! This guy actually sat down and put some work in here.
Now, Kiss should do that. Why not? Like you said, you mentioned Alice Cooper. He's known for doing stuff like that, where he'll hammer through four songs in 10 minutes or something like that. Yeah. Why, you know, instead of Paul Stanley, you know, contradicting himself and saying people don't want to hear that, why don't you fuck off? I mean, bands are doing it all the damn time. Iron Maiden will fucking do an arena tour that sells out and play all deep tracks. They're not doing it right now, but they've done it. God damn it. All I'm getting at is, why can't you do a fucking four-song deep track medley and then do all the shitty stuff that you keep right. playing all the time?
Well, I'm in general, I'm a big medley boner guy. But the thing about it, too, is the great thing about medley is the fact that if they hit a song you don't like, it's over in a minute and a half.
Right.
That would have been the highlight. I would have seen both of those shows and been like, this is a lot of fun. But proceed. What's next?
Yeah, well, I have to say this. I can't believe I'm actually getting back into this, because I was basically like, well, everybody knows Paul's voice is shot. It seems like singers like, you know, Brian Johnson and Ozzy went through kind of a similar phase where it basically just took some time off and they seemed to be able to remedy it, at least on record. And then, you know, kind of figure out a way to do it live that was somewhat believable. Paul seems to be pigheaded about this thing. Like, you know, and I could be wrong. I'm just saying this is how it comes off. Like, he's just like, what? Nothing's wrong. You know, here, buy a ticket and listen to how much we kick ass. My God, I couldn't believe it. It could get worse. And it did. Just hearing him intro Cold Gin. I was cringing, and I'm like, how can anybody in the audience sit there and be excited for this? I'm like, this is, I felt pain for Paul. And then to actually hear them like play a couple songs, and they played Larger Than Life. I mean, my God, Tommy, mail in that guitar solo a little harder. I mean, he didn't even fucking, I mean, practice the damn thing. Yeah, that's your only damn job. You're not working at a print shop fucking 50 hours a week and being in a band. This is it. And you're paid better too than if you're working at a print shop. Gene had the cadence of the vocal lines off. It was just like, do you guys even fucking, it sounded, you know how like on the convention tour, they would like rip off like maybe 45 seconds of something they've never played because a fan yelled it out? And it would be, I don't know, kind of basically half-assed, but the atmosphere and aura kind of permitted that. They're presenting this as a finished product, and it's like, you guys don't even try. And they look, this part I get. They're old, but man, watching Gene and Paul move around on stage, it just does nothing. It makes me sad. And Eric, I'm sorry, but that motherfucker has mailed it in years ago. He looks like the last place he wants to be, no matter what he's doing with that band, is doing what he's doing. He is clearly like cashing that paycheck. He is not the same drummer he was on Revenge or even Carnival of Souls and all that stuff. He has no energy. He's lifeless. He doesn't look like he even wants. He doesn't even smile anymore. He's just joyless, loose.
No, he is essentially the guy you know at work that puts in the minimum because he doesn't get a bonus. He gets paid the same salary whether he does a lot of work or not.
He's Stanley from The Office.
Yeah, there you go.
In my head, though, he's back there, you know, slowly plodding through Deuce again, and he's going, 603 more days. it's just, he's like, you know, he's Murtaugh. I'm too old for this shit. He's got his own Murtaugh list, which is basically things you can't do when you hit a certain age. So he's like, I can't go out clubbing anymore. I can't get a genital piercing, and I can't play drums and Kiss.
There you go.
Oh, but later on, I don't know what day it was, but Paul Stanley put on his Kiss jammies and had some children because, of course, for some fucking reason, people bring their kids to this thing again. You're going on a goddamn cruise, Lee. Get a fucking babysitter. This is one of the things that irks me the most is from Kiss and from the fans who do this. there's a new generation of fans every year. No, it's not. It's your fucking kids. And you're taking them. They didn't find Kiss. They didn't discover it on their own like you did, which you think you would give a fuck about. But no, you're the fucking Gen X parent who has to have their kid like everything you do. You selfish piece of shit. Leave your damn kid at home. Go enjoy yourself. Have a fucking margarita and untuck the shirt. And leave the damn kids at home. I don't want to see Paul Stanley taking a Q&A from 10-year-olds in his... By the way, you know how Paul likes to rip on Gene for being the narcissist? He has to have everything in it around him that says, I'm Gene, it's all my Kiss stuff. His pajamas were not just Kiss PJs. They were Paul Stanley only Kiss PJs. It was only his face all around this thing. It's like, yeah, okay, well, who's the fucking narcissist now, you old creepy bastard with two fake hips? Answering questions from children. And of course, the first question is, Dear Paul Stanley, how come my dad says he can't pay for my college, but he took me on a Kiss cruise? Jokes about Kiss fans at the beginning because, again, we smell our own. Make sure we recognize our own girth. But it's not just us that thinks that. There is a belly flop contest every year on the Kiss cruise. Nice. This year it was judged by the Darkness singer. What's his name?
Justin something or Justin Hawkins.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I don't get that. I know you disagree with me on this. A Kiss cruise should be kind of like a floating Kiss convention to me. It should be all Kiss centric. If you're going to call it a Kiss cruise, otherwise it's basically just a Monsters of Rock cruise headlined by Kiss. So they have like an Extreme in the Darkness on there. So
it's not that many bands. In fact, I thought the lineup was pretty sweet because it had Royal Bliss, which I like, the Darkness, like you just said, the Dead Deads, which I know, the New Roses, which is
okay.
Pretty solid. Then Tyler Bryant and the Shakedown, and then, of course, Corpse of Warren.
Well, it's not a lot of bands compared to Monsters of Rock, but that's a lot of bands.
No. If you say
But they also had...
Agreed. Agree or disagree? Actually,
oh, right, right. Like I said, you would actually enjoy that more. That's fine with me. But if you're going to tell me this is about Kiss, I don't want to be buying a Def Leppard onesie. Anyway, they also, other things you could do on there is they had a Are You Smarter Than Gene Simmons contest, which...
They did?
Yeah, and I can't believe that it... I mean, don't you think that the idea that you spent the money to go to this thing means proves you're not? Us to the moment that probably nobody's been waiting for. I don't know if you've heard recently, but Bob Kulick is getting salty.
Oh, by the way, can I get a bowl of food and eat while you're talking?
Please do. A couple weeks ago, Bob Kulick was interviewed by it was a really, really, really good interview. I can't remember who. I think it was Toomey might have done it. Where he was talking about, you know, he's worked with a lot of people. By the way, Bob Kulick, Grammy Award-winning producer.
I'm a Grammy Award-winning producer.
He's also worked with Lemmy.
I worked with Motorhead.
But he wanted to make sure people knew about that, not Kiss and all this stuff. Right.
He got that Grammy for, I believe, the cover of Whiplash.
Yeah, right? We'll get into that in a second. But so he also kind of basically said like he was asked like, well, how's your relationship with your brother? Is it good? He's like, well, it depends on what you mean by good. And then he basically says it's fucking jack shit. And, says that like, basically Bruce is brainwashed by Kiss, and Paul Stanley is ungrateful and they're just trying to hide him, and he wouldn't do things the same way if he knew how it would turn out as far as their fractured relationship. Adding clarity to that weird interview with, like I said, I'm pretty sure it was Toomey. I think Toomey lives in Canada, right? Yeah, so it was Toomey. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Bob went to Facebook on November 8th and said this. I'm just going to read the whole statement uninterrupted, and then we'll get into it, okay?
Because this was after the interview.
The interview was a few weeks ahead of this. I was like absorbing that and going, we have to talk about this. And then, of course, Bob says, you want to just push pause on that because I got more. All right. I know sometimes we pick these apart, but I'm just going to try to hammer through this because we got a lot to say, all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so this is from Bob Kulick's Facebook page. So sad and with a heavy heart, I am compelled to post these photos and share this with all of you, especially you Kiss fans. The photos below are merchandise items currently being sold by Kiss Army Merchandise with permission from my brother Bruce Kulick only. I have not given permission for this and have not been accounted to or paid for merchandise sold, bearing my name in photos and with my likeness. This is called copyright infringement, and an indication to all of you is where my backstabbing brother Bruce is in all this. Disgraceful, uncalled for, and a situation that will be answered in time. The culprits are as follows. Keith LaBrue, Bruce Kulick, Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, and Doc McGee.
Read the rest.
Please be advised that these people are dishonorable and dishonest and not like the honorable artists I produced, like Ronnie James Dio and Lemmy. These are people who will lie and cheat and steal just for the almighty dollar. Shame on you. P.S. I love that he has a postscript like he needed to. These people are so pathetic that I had to give them $750 to start the merchandise operation, and now they refuse to pay or acknowledge me.
All right, Dale, now you at least
you said it all.
And the merch he's talking about are some Kulik Brothers t-shirts, some hats, and an autographed photo of him and his brother holding guitars. So
Bob Kulik played a few solos on the fourth side of Alive 2. He also
and rhythm guitar. I think he basically filled in for Ace on that record. With
Correct.
The exception of the Ace song.
And then he also was on Paul's solo album, and he was actually, which I forgot about, was actually in his solo band in like 89. So he's got some history there. But just so everybody knows, because everybody knows Bruce, but maybe they don't know the Bob story. And 2 years ago, the Kulik brothers played the Cruise, which was Bob and Bruce, and they had announced some kind of tour that fell apart. So that's what this.
Well,
this
they both tease that it might happen or something like that. And Bob gets into that in Toomey's interview and the one that we're going to talk to much more depthly, which is with the Metal Voice.
Okay, please continue.
So Bob went on the Metal Voice and spoke with Jimmy Kay, and he really broke things down and also apparently ate some faux ramen or something like that for about 30 minutes of a 1 hour interview. I don't know what the fuck was
hungry.
Going on there.
Now, yelling makes you hungry.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too, now that you mentioned it. I was yelling there a little bit. Before we get into this, I would like to comment on one thing because, you know, I've tried to follow up and see how other shows are talking about this, look for comments on some KISS groups and stuff like that. As is tradition, the KISS Army is clamoring to basically shame Bob and call him just an old man, a whiner, and he should appreciate what he's got, and you're just jealous and all this kind of garbage.
Winston Churchill said, "Show me a man with no enemies, and I'll show you a man who's never stood up for anything in his life." So I know I'm making a bunch of enemies, and honestly, I really don't care.
If it sounds like I'm going to be holding water for Bob, just hold on. You'll realize I don't think this is necessarily a good look for him, and I'm sure as hell not sympathetic. I'm just saying, someone can be an irritable, uptight, jealous douche and still have a valid point.
You just describe yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, that's basically me. I mean,
or our show, both of us.
Every morning I walk into work and say exactly that. And when I'm done here, I'm going to go upstairs and say, just because I'm drunk don't mean you're right.
Just because I'm drunk don't mean you're right.
We should mention that Bob Kulik won a Grammy.
I'm a Grammy award-winning producer.
And he worked with Lemmy.
Like Lemmy, I'm a pirate. Lemmy was a pirate.
And Ronnie James Dio, by the way, Ronnie James Dio was a man of integrity, not like Gene and Paul.
He produced Last in Line, right?
No, no. I think Ronnie James Dio appeared with Ted Poley on a Christmas metal album released by...
saying that his producing career is on Cleopatra Records entirely, yes?
No, Cleopatra and Deadline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he definitely was heavily involved in all those cheap, cheesy tribute records. And the weird thing is we had Bob on the show, and he was a little salty, but not too bad. I mean, he didn't hang up on me when I asked him if he ever had hair.
At the time that you were trying out for him, did you have hair?
I did.
I think he would now.
He probably would now.
Yeah, now he's not taking any shit anymore. It took him 7 years, and he's fucking fed up.
You listened to the interview, right?
Yeah, when I got to that part about the half hour mark and he started eating, that's when I think I lost it.
Oh,
he was on fire, and I agree with what you said. For me to go listen to it is, you said basically it was he would say something you completely agree about and then follow up with something preposterous.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes, I mean, yes.
Yeah, absolutely,
points,
yeah. I think it's 50-50. Look, assuming what he's saying is true, that he's getting kind of screwed over here, and he also, by the way, subletted Paul Stanley's apartment years before winning a Grammy for working with Lemmy from Motorhead.
I'm a Grammy award-winning producer. I worked with Motorhead.
First of all, kind of like I said on our Rock and Roll Hall of Fame episode, if your band name has the words featuring in it, you're not a Hall of Famer. Bob, if you have to tell people about all these things, it's kind of like, oh, you know what? Let's quote the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, from her lips alone. If you have to tell people you're the Queen, you're probably not.
Yeah. And if I could just say something about the Grammy real quick.
Yeah. That he won with Motorhead.
With Lemmy. Yeah. Yes.
You know who wouldn't stand a chance working with Motorhead? Paul Stanley.
Yeah. You know, also the name of the track actually was Lemmy see you Grammy. But no, I mean, it was an original track. And no, it wasn't an original track. It was a
cover, a
pretty shitty cover of Whiplash, Metallica's Whiplash. I think it had Lemmy and about 70 other people on it, like all of his tracks.
I think Bob Kulick played guitar on it. That's how Motorhead it was.
Neener, neener, neener. That's the kind of person I am. I'm still 12 years old.
But here's the main thing about it, is that, just you know, for the Grammys, they gave that Grammy to say fuck you to hard rock. I'll tell you how they
pretty
did
much,
it even worse.
Yeah. How was anything on Cleopatra or Deadline even on Grammy's radar?
Because they're trolling. And also, they even trolled harder when they give a Grammy like a year or two later on a Dio tribute album. It was Tenacious D, and they played like Kazoo on their cover of Last in Line.
Yeah, and it's unreal. I mean, it just... there's so many stories, you know, Megadeth walking up to a Metallica song being played. Hetfield's microphone not working while they're jamming with total metal cred Lady Gaga. My God, it's just hard rock and metal should just say, take us away. We don't want to be part of this. You clearly don't want us there.
No, they're absolutely fucking always with hard rock. But continue on. He got the Grammy award-winning Lemmy best friend, Bob Kulick. Continue.
Well, the interview was fascinating, and there's so many nuggets, but it's just, there is a certain way that Bob talks, though. Like, it sounds like he's like, you know, like, yeah, he talks about, like, they want him to play like Ace. Like, I'm sorry, I just can't play that sloppy. And at first, it sounds like an insult, but then if you listen to him, it might just be, this is how he communicates. He's like, he's much more like Jimmy Page, who's great, and Ace is great too, and he's like, you know, more like Jimmy. There's another guy that he mentions in there, but nobody thinks Jimmy Page is a bad guitar player. So if Bob thinks Jimmy Page is sloppy, I get the comparison to saying Ace is sloppy. Frankly, I like it more as a dig.
You're working with a Grammy award winning producer now. You just shut up and let me do my thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuggets there, but isn't that obvious?
Yeah, it's totally obvious to me. We only need one song, dumbos. You don't need a whole record. Just one kick-ass great song. They can't even do that.
What a horrible idea.
I would immediately say to them, I'm a Grammy award-winning producer. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to come to the studio, and we're going to write a song called End of the Road. It's the end of the road. I can think of fucking, 100 versions of what I'm hearing. Let's put something together. In your case, almost anything will do. Let's have a song that you can put out with this. Produced by Grammy award-winning producer Bob Kulick, who produced Motorhead. Maybe you too could win a Grammy.
I totally disagree with him on that.
And he's not exactly setting himself up to get the job as the producer for that song.
I think he's realized the ship has sailed. And that's one thing I'll say to some of the Kiss fans. It's like, you know what, Bob? You're not helping yourself anybody shouting your mouth off. It's like, he's claiming he's not getting paid for something he should be. Clearly, not saying anything isn't helping. I'm not saying he should or shouldn't. This is kind of a bad look for the guy, to be honest with you, if you're asking me. Let's stop acting like, well, that's my favorite band, so shut up. I'm going to go hide under a pile of blankets.
No, there's some shady stuff going on. But it basically reveals that this guy was basically Vinnie Vincent 1.0, I think, where he was just...
Vinnie 2.0?
Oh, you think so?
Well Vinnie was actually in the band.
He's morphed into him, but I'm pretty sure he's pretty difficult to work with back then. But he does have some valid points. If he's having some riffs with, obviously, Bob, his brother... has
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Go ahead. The restraining order.
Yeah, Bob has... Bruce has a restraining order on his own brother. And, so I'm just imagining what he's doing. Like, he's doing basically, I can imagine Bob kind of like the scene in Say Anything, except on the boombox, he's playing Lemmy's cover of Whiplash.
I produced this, you fucking prick!
You see this thing on top of this jukebox? That's a fucking Grammy! You don't have a Grammy!
You know what?
Restraining.
Go fuck yourself, Bruce. You couldn't fucking last 5 minutes with Lemmy. Rest in peace, Ronnie Dio. I have worked with all these people who are good people. They are decent. They are credible. Not like these guys.
you're out there in the trench coat in the backyard of the boom box, please. Restraining order has been issued.
Meanwhile, Ghost Hunters is finally finding ghosts because it's Lemmy and Dio going, hey, why don't you, you don't really need to mention her name all the time.
please stop. No name dropping.
Let's be clear, Bob didn't produce a fucking Motorhead record or a Dio record. He produced those guys as kind of like ensemble musicians on those tribute records, where it's like Jack Blades and fucking Dio playing an Ozzy song, you know, with Jakey Lee on guitar or something like that. You know, it's just...
No, there's usually 20 people on each track, and what he means by produced is he uploaded the MP3 of the solo and added it to the track. Because there's people who are never in the same room!
Well, I like at the beginning of Toomey's interview, where...
Yeah.
At the beginning of Toomey's interview, Toomey introduces him as like, yeah, we got Bob Kulick, who's worked with Kiss, he's worked with this, worked with that. He's done all sorts of stuff. And Bob's like, I'm not going to stop you there, Toomey. I got to correct you on something there. Yeah, sure, I've worked with Kiss, but I've worked with a lot of other people, too. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know how I know that, Bob? As a listener? Because he just fucking said the same thing. Man, so yeah, he's clearly had some something recent just fired his fucking ass up over Kiss and all that shit, and because now he's done.
Do you know that probably a year or two now? I mean, I can understand he did that. He printed up the whole Kulick Brothers T-shirt and everything like that. This may be how I go if people don't buy this Rock and Pod Expo $10 T-shirt. You know what? I see a whole thing where I send out press release about you convincing me to make them.
I was going the other way. I'm like, he's selling these things for $10, and I ain't getting a penny of that.
You shut up and let me do my thing.
Okay. Yeah, you put in the investment.
I don't have to have a valid point to be the Bob Kulick in this story.
That is
okay?
True. That is true.
If I could please Lemmy, I could certainly please their sorry asses.
Oh, my God. I've had enough of sharks and cruises, and especially enough about Bob.
What about Bob?
Rock's not dead.
But it has to stay at least 50 feet away at all times.
You loved us when the band was hot. Now we're gonna give it one more shot. We're getting old, we must be crazy. Putting on the makeup again, it covers up a bunch of wrinkled skin. You bring the bread, we'll make the gravy. You keep on spending, we'll keep on singing. For a while, not since them hula hoops went out of style. It's been a while, I'm pretty rusty. We'll give you everything we got.
Would you like to see my liver spots?
Can you drive us home if we get sleepy?
If the shirts keep on selling, we'll keep on yelling.
By the way, Baco, just want to let you know, my favorite shark porn are Chum Shot compilations.
I came all the way from Chile to hear you play. Why are you not playing?
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.